Right, I see. We have a nice percentage of Hawaiian shirts today. Although only one fez. That's okay. We're going to see in the practice of Shirkari different ways to think about Gemara. So one thing Gemara is very good at is really teaching somebody how to analyze. And often analysis will happen outside of Gemara also. Right, part of the key is like breaking down steps. Like, oh, if there are three steps that lead to a conclusion, and someone disagrees with the conclusion, so which step are you disagreeing with? So we'll see an example of that today. I believe they say, for all the future lawyers in the room, is that being good at Gemara helps you in the LSATs. I believe there is evidence of that. So today we're going to get you into law school, okay? Okay, so let's get started now. So the mitzvah Brit Milah. So we're not going to spend much time discussing why it doesn't apply to women. I think that we can understand. Okay, but there's another aspect, though. Because it's a Brit Milah, it's also on a parent, right? In fact, till the boy is 13, it's really exclusively on the parent, right? A four-year-old is not obligated to go get a Brit Milah. So you might say, wait, if it's on the parent already, is that just the male parent, or the male parent and the female parent? Okay, so that is the opening question. So let's go to the Gemara in Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, ihi, which I make for she, minol and delo machayv, heron if she's not chayv, i.e., to be the parent who takes care of it. Dichtiv kasher tivo tiva oto elokim, oto velo ota. So regarding Avram takes care of his kids getting Gemila. What does the Gemara say? Kasher tiva oto is emphasizing it's on the male parental figure, not the female parental figure. Okay, we're not going to discuss the dress in great length. We'll get there in 1 second, guys. Just a quick question. Is there an easier reason why you could exempt a woman beyond the Gemara's drasha? Yes, Mati. Excellent. So every commentator is going to ask, you shouldn't need a pasuk for this. Once there's a rule that Zman Grama, right, time-bound positive mitzvot, women are exempt. Granted, there are exceptions to the rule, but that is the rule. Once there's such a rule, so we don't need a pasuk, right? It's just obvious. Now, before we get to questions, guys, we're going to see, believe it or not, three different arguments why Mila might be Zman Grama. Okay, but what are the most basic ones? If we're, again, to justify the question before we get to the answer. If you want to say that Mila is Zman Grama, what about Mila do you think makes it Zman Grama? Yes? Okay, so the most obvious answer we just said, oh, it's supposed to be on the eighth day. 8 days is a specific time. 8 days is the point. That makes it Zman Grama. Okay, can anyone think of another reason why it might be Zman Grama besides the 8th day? That's the obvious reason. Yeah, Sadia? Very good. So, excellent. So, Sadia is correct that it is meant to be... Oh, Sadia, I haven't checked with you. Since you came back to Israel, Sadia, have you gone bowling?
No.
Oh, man, what's going to be? You're going to lose it. You're going to go... Your average is going to go down to 208 or something like that. Okay. So, in any case, it's only the day, right? You never probably did it while Brit at some point in your life, right? You never had a Brit that was scheduled for the nighttime, because you're not allowed to do a Brit at nighttime. So that could also be Zman Grama. I know it's not exactly a calendar date, but Sadia's right. We do treat that as Zman Grama as well. So notice, before we get to the answers, we already have two potential problems. Right? It might be Zman Grama because it's only on the 8th day. It might be Zman Grama because it's in day and not in night. Okay, no.
Perhaps because your obligation only lasts from 0 to 13. That is Zman Grama.
That's clever. That was a very clever question. I didn't see anybody ask it, but that was very clever, no. Okay, who else had a hand up in the very beginning? Ari Bird? We're good? Okay, Quincy.
It could be Zman Grama because once a child is born, only once you have a child is that that's it. That's its thing
for you. Did you see any context?
Yeah, but then we'd say, very good, Rafi. I would say non-timing contexts are Dafka, not Zman Grama. Okay? Yeah. Like, just to give you an example, like, some of you know there's a mitzvah to build a fence on your roof so no one falls off. Are you guys wearing that mitzvah? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Oh my God. No burn down. I never thought you were going to go to Tefinuch. You just made a rabbinic joke. Oh my God. Yeah, I know you guys understood. It was a very good rabbinic joke, actually. Okay. But, so Quincy, would you argue, oh, that's obviously Zman Grama, because when am I chayv to put in the fence? Only when I have a house. So we don't say that, right?
I wouldn't argue about entertaining the possibility.
Oh, okay. Oh, what a distinction there. Okay, yeah.
Can you also say theoretically that the longer you wait, it hurts more than if you want to
space in the baby? Yeah, although that's a practical point, less of a halachic point. Okay? Good? Okay, so let's see if we can come up with some answers. Okay, and but if you think about it, guys, let's get back to my law school possibility. Okay, if I were to answer this again, let's get the question down. We have a special pasuk to teach you that women are not obligated to ensure that their son has a milah. Okay, and we say we don't need a pasuk because it's mitzvah my brahma, either because of the 8-day issue or because of the day night issue. Okay, so how would you, what, in a very broad sense, guys, how might you go about answering that? Again, what's the question? It's Zman Grama, and women are exempt naturally. How might one go about answering such a question? Mati?
You need to say it's not Zman Grama.
Or
that it's not, the shade of the good about naturally. Is that what you're second point?
Okay, so since it's Zman Grama, of course women are Pata.
Oh, right, yeah.
What's the second way to say it?
But they're not Pata.
Even though
it's a fine time.
Excellent. So Mati's going to get into law school. Okay, again, the argument has... Sorry, he's going to be a barrister one day. Not that I have any recollection of what he's going to be a barrister or whatever.
Don't tell us.
Okay? If you guys are curious during lunch, you want to hear people expound about England, ask Quincy and Mati who's a lawyer and a barrister is.
Also in Australia.
What?
Also in Australia.
Oh, you guys have the same distinction? Wait, do you Australians, do you put on like the white wig also?
It's not a field, but it is yours.
Wow. And in England, is it obligatory?
Yeah. If you're like a, yeah.
See, they're more serious there in England. Okay. So, in any case, think about it. What was the argument? It is Zman Grama. Since it's Zman Grama, obviously women should be exempt. So now if you break the argument, I now have to say one of two things. I'll come up with some reason why we shouldn't define it as Zman Grama. That'd be one possibility. Or maybe I can come with a reason. Okay, I give it. It's Zman Grama. But guess what? Other factors could overcome this Zman Grama factor. Everyone good? So that's exactly what I wanted to learn how to analyze. And now, of course, you have to fill in the blanks. Meaning, why wouldn't it be Zman Grama? And what are the other factors that could perhaps say, overcome the Zman Grama component? Everyone good so far? Okay, so does anyone want to try one of those two categories? I'm going to try either to tell me why. Now, it's a little tricky, it's a little complicated, because we have two different reasons it could be Zman Grama. So your response can relate to either of them. But again, the nighttime-daytime factor or the 8-day factor. So give me either a reason why it's not Zman Grama, or a reason why I don't care whether it's Zman Grama. There's something about Milah that changes the game. Okay, please.
I think I have to say that Milah, but maybe the situation
is, yeah, what do you mean?
From this, if the father passed away, then maybe that's why now a woman has to be Milah.
You're saying that what if she's the only game in town? That's a very good point. Okay, but what if, excellent point, what if there's an alternative? Can you think of an alternative? Like, he made an excellent point. Well, if there's no dad, maybe somebody's got to fill in the blanks. Who might be the alternative? Or Beitin, the Jewish community. So your point is a very good point, but maybe there are alternatives to going to mom. Okay, Mark Adler.
You think a couple reasons will want to... It's like a breed, it's an integral part, it's like an acre of being part of the
Okay,
Jewish.
Excellent.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like Shabbos, it's like...
Okay,
like,
very good. So Mark might be on to, what if we see that maybe in some of the exceptions, the things are really significant? And maybe there's some idea that if you could show how significant something is, it could be more important than Zman Grama. So some of you might even have discussed this in the context of Brachot, right? Are women obligated to pray?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, and why women are, now I'm not getting to whether they have the same obligation as men, but they're certainly obligated to pray. Why are women obligated to pray? So one possible argument is, it is so fundamental to being a religious person. What does it mean to be a religious person? You talk to God in prayer. So at that point, it's almost like, we don't care about Zman Grama. We will throw up the Zman Grama rules and just obligate women. So we're going to get back to Mark's point, yeah?
Also, it's a support for women doing it in a Torah, which shows where a woman does it risk.
Okay, very good. That was very clever what you just said. Okay. By the way, I can tell you, you guys know that during Shikol you find out interesting details about people. I let you in on the secret, so I told you about Binyamin Edlitz, you probably don't know. Okay, he is very into jujitsu. But do you know why he prefers jujitsu to karate and judo? Because he doesn't want to hurt anybody. He don't realize what a nice guy he is. He would like to be, he was looking for martial arts where you can't hurt your opponent. That's what he was looking for. Okay, what a guy. Okay, Gabriel Buchholz.
Yes, right. When you see Judah, it's not exactly Judaism. It's not that Judah's not stronger.
Okay, look, I don't debate the Tila question. I admit.
So,
how would it work in Mila? Why is Mila not stronger?
Set time during the day. It's just a different day.
Okay, but what if we see another, right, Gabriel? Logically, it's possible. What if we see that the Gemara chants to say, if someone's just staying all night, that does count as Zman Grama. In fact, very good. So if I ask, where do you snack? Where do you snack? So the Gemara treats both tefillin and tzitzit as mangrama. And only thing that makes tefillin and tzitzit mangrama is the only thing. The most likely thing that makes them mangrama is that it's in the day and not at night. So we do seem to treat that as mangrama. All right, Joshy.
Just to give you that, I guess, that train argument. You can say that maybe Mila isn't also like so strained on like there's one grandma. Because let's say for singing a second. Like once the AD is in second passes, you can't sing a second.
Ah, excellent.
If for Mila, if something were to happen.
Okay, terrific. Joshy, way to go. So Evan, go to the, where is it? The Tosfot. Source 2. Okay, let's skip to the second line. He asked the question, what about the fact, Phil, I'll get you, don't worry. What about the fact that it's day 8? V'yesh lomar, kibin demiyom hashmini v'hala. Anyone know what that means? Yom hashmini v'hala? From the 8th day and on. Ein la hefseik at that point. So what if I have to wait for a certain time, but once that time comes, forever the mitzvah could be fulfilled. And Josh, he's totally right, by the way, it doesn't matter even whether I have a good excuse or a bad excuse. Okay, what are famous cases? What's the famous case of a good excuse? What happens frequently, guys? No one should be upset if this happens to their son. What if the baby has jaundice? Right? It's not dangerous for life, but you can't do a brit milah, so you push it off. Maybe some of you even did not have your brit on the 8th day. Okay, sometimes for medical reasons you wait. So, but the mitzvah is still fulfilled perfectly fine on a different day. Or what if it wasn't for a justified reason? You grew up in an anti-milah ideology. But then when you're 30, you think differently about it and decide to get a brit milah. So again, the mitzvah works, right? It's still a mitzvah. So the claim would be, okay, but if once I cut the starting tape, we cut it first, and then I could run forever, so it's not for my grandma. Okay, so we already have some interesting reasons why, but notice what we just had. That fit my two categories perfectly, right? One argument was, it is my grandma, the Mark Adler argument, but we don't care, it is so significant. Okay, we'll see that in a second. And now we had the Joshi Tosfos argument. Guess what? It's not Zman Grama. Because since once the floodgates are open, it stays forever, that's not Zman Grama. Okay, Phil. Phil, is this going to be a contrarian point?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would think it's not Zman Grama because one of the main reasons that we have women being exempt from those mitzvot is because they have to look after their family.
Okay.
I think this is a very, very integral part of looking after your family.
Good start, Phil. Put in your shaker. I just want to make one point. That's very good advice. Two great things just happened now. Phil may have had a good svara, and he was clearly not trying to be contrarian. So that was just great. A great moment in all right the history. Okay. Okay, but I'll just say I want to raise one issue, guys. You have to be careful one thing. Not that Phil's wrong. Which is, sometimes there's a classic explanation, and therefore we kind of assume that's obviously the pshat. But that classic explanation might not be like in Torah anywhere, might not be in Gemara anywhere. And therefore, it doesn't mean it's wrong, but you can't necessarily assume it so easily. So many people would like to say, why are women exempt from Zman Grama? Since for most of history, probably even today, women have the bulk of the child rearing. Therefore, they're not always in control of their time. Therefore, we exempt them from mitzvah, which are time pressure. That is a classic explanation. And then Phil says, but if that's true, meaning the whole exemption is about taking care of children, so the same, that same value would lead you to being responsible. I thought it was very clever. Phil, it's very good. Okay, I just want to point out again, the Gemara is very clear that women are exempt from Zman Grama. Phil's classic explanation does not appear anywhere in the Gemara, which doesn't make it wrong. Just realize there is a certain assumption there about what's our concept about. By the way, I just want to also announce, guys, we have Max Koffer. You guys all know him because of Sam's brother. He's one of the illustrious yeshiva alumni who did something really remarkable. Okay, Max, I hope I don't embarrass you. Actually, it's okay if I embarrass you. Okay, most guys who are thinking about doing the army, obviously you're going to do it before college. Okay, but if you're ready to go to college, you're going to move on. Like if University of Pennsylvania and Goldman Sachs is courting you, right, you're just going to forget about your desire to go to the army and your idealism. But Max, which I think you might be the only guy in yeshiva who did this. I'm trying to think if that's true. Max went back to Penn, and he kept his idealism, and he graduated Penn, and now he's in the Israeli army. Pretty remarkable. Okay, Max. Max, what did Goldman Sachs say when you shoot him down? What did they say?
Happy later.
Okay.
I think it's actually a good metaphor also for the Jewish Milah, that like there's like I said over on the other side of the room, there's a time period where you're supposed to do the Brit Milah, but if you didn't do it, it's still Chal down the line, right? So the army isn't, the door isn't closed. Even
What a move! What a move! Toaster Star is your life, Max Koffer. Wow, what a move there!
Also, looking at archetype of Avraham Avinu, right? He obviously is not 8 days old, and yet the mitzvah was different for him than it was for Am Yisrael in terms of the Brit Milah itself.
Okay.
But the archetype of Avraham was clearly not at 8 days, you know, 8 days old. So therefore, I think like the idea of the mitzvah itself is beyond the.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So I just want to show before I get to Sadia, you guys are doing a great job, that, and again, I've said this to you before, guys, when you see an idea that it, and it's in an earlier commentator, that's not a reason to be upset. That's usually, like, it's a good idea. Like, let's say somebody says to you, oh, Aristotle said that before you. It's not a reason to be depressed. So, oh, I guess it's a pretty smart idea. Okay, so let's take a look at two things quickly. Okay, first of all, in terms of the... so let's go to source 5 in terms of who said the significance of Mark Adler, the Mark Adler story. Okay, so look at the Tosfos in Megillah. This is also good thing to realize, guys. We just saw Tosfos in Kiddushin, and Tosfos in Megillah says something different. So just guys, why is that going to happen more commonly in Tosfos than other commentaries? Okay, very good. See, you do get something from DRS. You got the Gemara there. Okay, so guys, Tosfos is a school, not a person. So it's more likely that the Rashba is going to say the same thing in every tractate. But there's no reason to assume that Tosfos is going to say the same thing in every tractate. It might be a different member of the Tosfos school. Okay, so look at Tosfos in Megillah. He says, what would I say? So when are women pater? I'm 3 lines from the end, guys. Hainu deleka karet. When women exempt? When there's no karet punishment. Dumi dematze v'simcha haka, double karet. Uminai umimatinashim. Avomila sheyeshba karet. So it's clear where he's going. Now again, Mark didn't say these words, but... you could use punishment sometimes as a barometer of significance. How do I know we really care about Brit Milah? Well, as you guys know, what usually is the punishment for not doing mitzvah aseh? What's usually the punishment, guys? It's a trick question. There's no punishment in the Torah for not doing mitzvah aseh. The Torah does not say if you don't put on tefillin, you get punished. It does not say if you don't sit in a sukkah, you get punished. Okay, but Brit Milah famously, the Torah says, you don't get Brit Milah. What? And not only is there a punishment, but it's a relatively severe one. Right, Kli of Kari. So Tosfos is not interested in the punishment. He's saying, what could the punishment reflect? There's a serious punishment because Judaism really... But it's one way to think about punishments in general. Some of you may know that Beit Din rarely gives the death penalty. So you might say, at that point, why have death penalties? No, it might be like communicating values to a society. These are the things that we really care about. Right, so at that point, we're saying, I don't care that it's my brother. Mila is so significant. So everybody, so there we have the Mark Adler, a version of the Mark Adler Svar. One last thing, guys, just a version of the Max Kofler Svar. Okay, so go to the second side, guys, it's the very end of page 6. Okay, you see where it says Mem Mem on the fourth line? Oh, let's see who's a Rashi table guy here. What's Mem Mem in rabbinic literature? There are a lot of you who do that. They're excellent. Wait, leave. You got it. I thought Rashi table is your Achilles heel. Or as I like to say, Rashi table is your AH. Okay, here we go. Okay, that was a terrible rabbinic joke. Okay, here we go. Okay, Mikol Makom. Okay, thank you, Joshy, for that. I appreciate it. Okay, here we go. Okay. If you didn't get that, you're in trouble, guys. Okay, yeah. What? Oh, that was funny, actually. That was quite clever. That was quite clever. That was much more clever than what I did. Okay. You guys see what we just did, guys? Okay. That was quite clever. Okay, Mikol Makom. Mitzvah Mila Shia Mira Yichidi. What is we declare? What makes Mila different? It's not exactly Mitzvah, it's on the right track. Maybe Mitzvot that preceded Matan Torah have a different rule book. Right? And there aren't so many Mitzvot like that, but clearly one of them is. So it's about some use of that, right? That we see it have different parameters. Although he's focusing more on the timing. Maybe a Mitzvah that precedes Matan Torah doesn't have the same rule book, and that would apply to men. Anyway, so I'm going to stop for comments again, guys. We already have 3 answers. They all go in kind of very different directions. Again, it's not Zman Grama because once the floodgates are open, it stays forever. That was Tosfot. Or it is Zman Grama, but it's so important. Notice the Karet. That was the other Tosfot in Megillah. And then the Svarim suggesting it's just a different kind of mitzvah altogether. It's a different mitzvah because it precedes Matan Torah. Okay, Saul Myers.
Is the possible answer for why something like the pink presents of Zman Grama? Correct me if I'm wrong, when for Shabbos candles, even though the men and women are 5, the Shabbos candles are usually given to the woman because they're usually in charge of the household affairs.
Correct.
But so could it be applied to the same thing then?
You going with Phil Sir?
Yeah, going with Phil Sir.
Okay, there you go. Phil, you have a backer over there. Little son of bed backing. Okay, Gideon.
I was going to say, with the seven human problem, my dad said it only applies to the four. Once you have four children.
Right, I think you could still do it. I think even if you have a conflict, if you're saying that the main focus is your role in child raising, even if you have two other children, this is still that role. So I think you can work it out. I understand what you're saying, but I think you can work it out. Okay, yeah, Noah.
Just to expand on what Joshy was saying a little bit, I think that the saying that something is time-bound actually means that it's bound, meaning you're not going to be able to fulfill it regardless.
Good.
In any other case. That also applies to the night and day thing. I believe if you do a bris milah at the night, you're still going to fulfill your obligation, which would mean that it's not actually time-bound.
Okay, that's very good. Okay, I'm going to do it again. We're going to see something slightly different than Noah in 5 minutes. You guys are doing a great job. I'm very excited about today here. Okay, which is, you could all say that the Joshi Svara only deals with the 8-day problem. It doesn't deal with the day-night problem, right? Remember we talked about two different issues? Okay, we're going to try not to do a move similar to Noah Birnbaum and use that even to solve the day-night problem. Okay, we'll get there in 1 minute. Okay. Sam, enjoying life with your brother next to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is he taking you out for lunch? Are you taking him out for lunch?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Harrison. Yeah. We see it really matters. Somehow, in our Jewish tradition, milah somehow seems to matter more than other mitzvot.
Therefore, what about women's status? They are
better. Look, we can't say, therefore, a woman herself should get a milah for obvious reasons.
No.
But we could say, it's such an important thing, mom should bear the responsibility as well to make sure that the boys get milah.
But isn't that, doesn't the Gemara that we just read, our first question?
Look, it's true that once we have the pasuk, they don't. And you could ask them why. You could ask, like, philosophically, why is that true? But we're saying, like, before you got to that pasuk, why did the Zman Grumma rule not play a role? And this would be answering that. You're right. At the end of the day, it's not true. Okay, who else is in there? Sadia.
I think there's misses somewhat twofold. What Noah was getting there, what I was going to say, is that there's... Part of the mitzvah is to actually the action of bris milah, and then there's another part of having had.
Oh my God! Did I give this to your clothes last year?
yeah.
I did. Yeah. Did you remember it from there?
I mean, I also learned in high school.
That was amazing what you just said. Okay. We have to do that inside because he just said we're going to skip Noah's Svar for a minute. Sides said an amazing Svar. Again, guys, it really shows you, again, whether you love Gemara or not, it's okay if you don't, but it really trains you in an abstract thought, which is a good thing. Okay, so let's look at the Svat Emet. He says exactly what Sadi just said. You know, I have to look more carefully at my list a bit from last year and stop repeating. I apologize, shut a bit. The problem is you guys remember it. You're supposed to forget it over the past year. Okay. You know, guys, I don't know if you know this, but there's maybe it's some of your grandparents, actually. There's a phenomena that, like, older Jews retire to Yerushalayim. It's a good place to retire when you're 60 or 70 old serious Jew. Any of you have grandparents living in Yerushalayim? There you go. So there's a whole culture that, what do they do all day? So they go to free concerts and they go to shiurim. It might seem like the OU Center has a bunch of shiurim for adults. Right? Pardes has a bunch. Okay, so yeah, Harrison's here. Do your grandparents take advantage sometimes? They're more, okay. I guess he has Mahjong options, but that's the issue, guys. When you have the Women of America for 60, you make all the money. No, you can't, no better place than July. So there was one time in my life that I gave a series of shurim to that crowd. So it's kind of funny. Like, I'm in the room with, like, you know, 50, 65-year-old women, and I'm giving them shurim about, I don't know, the Meshachach. Okay, so one time I said to them, oh, I'm a little nervous that I might have taught this already. And they say, Rabbi, at our age, just wait 2 weeks, we can teach it again, it's okay. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the Svat Emet. Okay? So the Svat Emet, two lines to the bottom on the first side, says, Sadya Svar, Yesh Lomar, Delovi Mitzvah Nasei Shem Anon, why not? Kivin De Be'emet. Oh, guys, this is going to be great, because you get great Svaras together with grammar. Zemet Lolam Tzarech Adam Liyo Nimol. A person needs to be, what's that Nun prefix again? Passive. The person needs to be circumcised. The Avdak the good familiar circle biome of a mahun kiu kadeshani mo. Here's a great point. There's some mitzvot that are only an action. But what if I say the other mitzvot are not just an action, but they are a result? They're a forming of a certain identity. Okay, so we're going to argue this. I'm trying to say it's not arbitrary at all. There's a good distinction. Let's just think for a second, guys. Let's say there's a mitzvah to take a lulav on Sukkot. Okay, very nice mitzvah. Okay, so it's a mitzvah to do an act. But you wouldn't say, having done that act, you're a different Jew now. What kind of Jew are you? A lulav Jew, right? And that is a different halachic status than... No, you're the same Jew you always were, right? It's not a status. It's just an act. Guys, prove to me that milah is not like that. Yeah. Okay, true, but guys, Jonah's totally right physically, but I think you can make a halakhic argument also. Yeah, Ethan? Okay, all that's true, but guys, did everyone count the halakha sometimes certain things you can only do if you had a Brit Milah? Remember what the term is for not having a Brit Milah? Being an Orel, Ayin Reish Lamed. What if I tell you that an Orel cannot eat from Carbon Pesach? So what is your... Now, there's never going to be anywhere, oh, only someone who took a lulav this year could eat from the carbon on surface. Right? Those are rules. Okay, so what do you see? Mila is not just an act. It's the formation of a status. It's the formation of identity. Okay, so I think that that's... in my mind, it's a very convincing argument. So once that's true, so I'm saying something clever. Wait, even if I give a Brit Mila on the eighth day, what emerges? In some sense, the mitzvah is always... lurking. Why is mitzvah always lurking? Because even if it's to now, I'm 5 years old, but I am still employing that status of someone with a mule, which isn't true with other mitzvah. So we have another, that's a very good setting. So we have another very, in my mind, this might be the most clever one. Okay, but a clever reason why not to do it as my grandma. I just have to tell Mike this. Actually, I'll wait to come back out there. Okay, I had a good conversation with your dad last night. Email. Yeah, just email. I'll tell you what he said. When you come back, I'll put it. Okay. All right, get in.
So, I'm not sure how to dissimilar this idea is, but when it comes to magic, we see, the higher chaya, that's why the man does it.
Okay.
Has that higher chaya, in the obligation, he should be the one to take responsibility.
Okay.
For the Mila in this instance.
Okay, but again, is that an answer to the question, or why is it an answer to the question? Meaning, if women have a rule of Zman Grama, they shouldn't even have a lower chiyuv. They should have no chiyuv. Right, that was the question, right?
Oh, I was saying...
It wasn't so much a comparative question. It was why do we even raise the possibility that women would be chiyuv? Okay? All right. Alicia.
I had sort of like you said earlier that it's the result of what comes from this, when I said Rubila.
Yeah.
So I feel like... Milah is technically a mitzvah for the result of the whole point. I remember working in the Gemara. The whole point of the Brit Milah, since I work inside the reminder, it's a reminder of
good.
So that's the whole point.
Yeah. It's going to correct. No, I think it's a very important idea. I think it works on every level. It works on a halakhic level. It works on a philosophical level. That mila really is different. It's true. You have to do the act to get the result. But in many ways, it's more about the result than the act. And most positive mitzvah, you wouldn't think about it that way. You think about the act as. So that's an important distinction. All right, Phil.
Are there not mitzvot that if you don't do them, you can't serve on a beit din, or is that only negative?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I'm not aware of a rule that an RL can't sit on a beit din. You're trying to create the same point. That's very clever what you just said.
If you break
I understand. You're saying maybe they're... Okay, guys, this is amazing, guys. I might have to stop making a fun film for being contrary. He has now made two non-contrarian points in the same year. Okay, what's going on? What's going on in the world? Okay, so... See, guys, some things you just can't count on. Not everything is stable, okay? Only death and taxes. Not Phil being contrarian. I was going to say death, taxes, and Phil being contrarian, but apparently that is not true. Okay, so in any case, he has a very interesting question. I don't know the answer. I really have to think about it. He actually asked other Tommy to come about this, which is Mila unique, or are there other mitzvahs that say you could put in the same category? Because, offhand, it's hard when you think of another mitzvah to think about it that way. All mitzvahs I would think about are mostly about, doing that. Tzitzis, tefillin, sukkah, shofar. Is there any other mitzvah like mila where the mila impacts on your identity in a profound way? I can't think of one offhand. That's a very good question. Yeah.
Other than, you mentioned that, mila, if you don't have free mila, then you're not allowed to be and everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything
By the way, I'm not sure that would matter. Because at least it shows you that in theory, there's still a status there. There's a status of someone who has a mila and a status of someone who's not around.
I'm saying someone that gets
seriously, say, if I take away the sacrificial order, what are the implications?
Right, meaning if someone doesn't have a mila nowadays, would there be any actual factors what they
did? I have to look it up. I don't know if that's a good question. I will look it up. Good question. Okay, RET.
Is there a ritual to go to a mila? You enter a status
That's a clever question. Very good, guys. The one thing I would say is usually, it's not that it's a mitzvah to be tahor, it's just that you need to be tahor to do certain things. So it's kind of on the board, you know what I'm saying? Just to clarify what I'm saying, guys, because it's good to realize that how the world of some of the tahor works, some of the world not so at all. Let's say a person comes coming and they live in Tveria. Okay? Ah, Josh, this is you. They live in Tveria so they could go to Pagoda once a week because they're desperate for good Chinese food in Israel. Okay, even though it's a big mistake because you should be next door at Dex, but okay, there you go. Okay, but there you are in Pagoda, you live in Tveria. You become tummy. Let's pick a time. It is Cheshvan, right? Are you under any urgency to get Tahor?
No.
No, you could have a great life being tummy, right? You could go to Daman, you could go to Shir, you could go to your job, you could have a great dinner with your kids, right? You could do everything. Okay, when will you feel urgency to become Tahor? So when Pesach comes and you're going to make a trip to the Beit HaMikdash, then there'll be urgency to be Tahor. So all right, that's why I think it's very the case for me, because there is a status, but you don't have like some any kind of like immediate obligation to change your status, okay? Harrison.
What about like something that makes you less related?
Well, that was Phil's question, actually, right? So, yeah. Phil was asking about it. Well, he said Beit Din, but that's the approach. But usually, I might be misremembered. I think Phil's right. Usually, what kind of things, guys, invalidate you for testimony or for usually a lo tase, right? I'm not aware of any gemara that says, "Oh, you didn't put on tefillin for a month, you can't be a judge." Okay, I'm not aware of such a halacha. Yeah, Leif.
Two things. I don't see why. When it comes to right, some that mother should be high,
mm-hmm.
son of her son. So really, mother is not results oriented. It's only for like the kids. Like, that's a daughter decision, right? So it's like the kid is busy the best. You're that. The whole matters for him. Whereas for the mother, she's like, she's a daughter. She has to. She directly have to do the mitzvah, but it's action oriented for the parents. Their loving status doesn't change based on their kid having the first meal.
Okay, so it's an interesting question. Okay, so I'm going to throw in another story here which might make you happy. Okay, although we seem to have a weird rule here that no matter what I'm giving Shir Kol on, somehow somebody says the word Chetzer Gavra at some point in the Shir. It's a very odd phenomenon, but believe me, maybe it's just you every time. Maybe that's why it happens. Okay, so let's go with Leif Svar and run with it a little bit. Okay, so everyone go to source 4, please. Tosas Rid. Okay, because he's going to use Leif's distinction, but he's going to actually convert it to our benefit. Because Leif is right. What's a little bit unusual here, guys? This is not a mitzvah that you're doing just on your own. We're doing a mitzvah where you're helping somebody else get something. Right? So that already makes it a bit different. Okay, so he's going to actually use it as a strength. Everyone see the Tosas Rid? Okay. Look at the third line, which says Nehi. Everyone see that in the third line of Tosas Rid? What does Nehi mean? Granted. Granted. Right? Who knew that over there? Which one else knew that? Oh, Max, it's you. Okay. Gideon, you knew that? How'd you know that? Okay. Wait, Ellen, based on that, you should know it also. You did? Okay, great. Ellen, can I make fun of you briefly during Shabbat?
Sure.
It's not going to be a substance more. Okay, guys, I my first year teaching Yeshiva Flatbush, Elio's mother was a senior. Okay, as so was Eli's father, actually. So I looked at the yearbook. Guess what it says what Elio's mother liked to do? She liked to sing as she was going through the hallway. How do you like that? Okay, here we go. So let's go to. That was okay, right? Okay. Nehi, granted, de kavua hazman leben hanimol. It is a fixed time. It is a fixed time for the kid. Aval av shitzivah boy lit asek mi lebeno ha'esek ha'hu emosman. So notice what he does. He changes your point to a strength. Okay, that was going to be fun to hear. Okay. So what does he point out? Right? Wait, but if your mitzvah is setting up the milah, getting it ready, calling the moel, like ordering the bagels, when are you doing that? Arguably at any moment. Right? That doesn't have a halachic response. He takes your point and tries to convert it to a strength. If your mitzvah is the Mila Act is limited. You're supposed to do it on the eighth day in the morning. Right? But if your mitzvah is arranging is not limited. So he takes your point and says, I'll give you another reason why it's not. Zman Grama. Yeah. So we already have one second. We'll take more comments. We only got. Actually, no. I can go to like 5:30, right? I'll go to 7:02, so you guys have time to relax a little bit before the next show. Okay, but so what do we have here, guys? We have like 5 answers already, right? Let's just go. Either it is Zman Grama, but we don't care because of Kargis, or there's a whole different rule book because it's before Matan Torah. Or it's not Zman Grama for one of the various reasons. It's not Zman Grama because it's eighth day and onward, although we still didn't deal with the day-night question. It's not Zman Grama, the Sfat Emet, because it's a result-oriented mitzvah, which we didn't like. But now Tosas Rib goes with Leib's point. It's not Zman Grama because we're talking about the person arranging it, and that arrangement could take place at any time. Mati.
Can you, Quincy's point earlier about the, when it comes into effect, can you talk about in being a bit like Shiva, which is that Shiva still obligates the both because it's sort of, it's triggered by the death, it's not triggered by being a seventh point of the year.
Correct.
Same here, it's not like every Nisan you do in Rishmila, it's just after the birth you do
Rishmila. Oh, this is amazing. You guys have nailed every star. Give me one second, okay? Okay, Mati, you're a natural born Lamdan, those are good. Okay, so as you guys know, who historically was the founder of what's called the Brisker Derech, that mode of analysis? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Okay, so people who like Brisker Svaras, Reb Chaim is the hero. You can check with Reb Gav if Reb Chaim is his hero. Okay, so now let us look at source 7, Chivushi Agrach. This is exactly Mati Svar. Mati, go tell Reb Gav that you said Reb Chaim Svar. Okay, we'll just pick out one line, guys, in the third line. Why does it have to be on the eighth day? What's Talia, guys? Like Talui? It's not because it depends on time. Talia beguf havlad. What's the claim? Sometimes it's the calendar date per se that matters. That's minimum. Sometimes you're just waiting for a certain physical phenomena to occur. It's just that physical phenomena overlaps with an amount of time. Like arguably Kiddush Levana is like that. Okay, that's a good example. I'm arguing that based on this verse, Kiddush Levana is not Zman Grama. Okay, why is Kiddush Levana? It's the bracha we make on the new moon. So you might say to me, Rabbi, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to wait till X amount of the month to do it. So I say, no, but that's not because of the fourth day of the month per se. I'm just waiting for the moon to get a certain size. Right? If it would get to that size earlier somehow, some weird cosmic phenomenon, I would make a bracha then. It's not really about the day. So what's the claim over here for the Grach? Mati's claim. Why am I waiting for day? There's no magic today, but I want the body to be sufficiently developed for Brit Milah. And if, in some fluke of physicality, right, all of humanity would change. I'm just saying, this is a big argument. I'm not saying this is what actually happened. Right? All humanity would change, and everybody would be that developed by day four. Maybe the Lacha should really change, and you should get a Milah on day four. Okay, so that's another claim why it is not Zman Grama. Okay, so I'll do one thing, guys, because this might be my last tangent of the day. But one thing I also like to do is, I think it's a great trait, by a half-year dad also, I have two tangents left. It's a great trait to be an optimistic and friendly and happy person. I'm not saying it's easy, those are difficulties in life, but it's a great trait. So I like to point out people are always walking around with a smile. It's like my smiley guy list. Okay, so I would like to point out that right now Noah Bonner is leading the league and smiling. Okay, he's doing a great job. But there are some other very talented Channel F guys at this. What's looking around here? You know, Kevin Nelson's pretty good. And wait, where are my guys? I had another guy picked out. Oh, yeah, Rafi Rubek's pretty good, although he left. Wait, I thought of another guy this morning. I'm debating about Ethan. Okay. What? Yeah, I'm debating whether he really belongs on the list. Okay, fine. You
Anyone can spell
once.
That's not hard.
That was part of the joke. I didn't choose. Okay. I'm not sure. David Cohen's tricky because he's got like this shy little smile. I'm not sure if it's like, that's just, like big enough. What do you think? Is that big enough to count?
Yeah, but
he's okay. What? Yeah, you should down there. Okay, there we go. Okay, way to go. All right, so now, any questions before we get to the last part to wrap things up? Mark Adler.
According to the last and the second answer, right?
Yeah.
Like, would that mean that, like, in a sense, like, a woman would be obligated and, like, halal on Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh was given.
Wait. His answer about pre-Matan Torah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. The one tricky thing is Rosh Chodesh is Doraita. Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not.
But you just
when you write a Chassidus Sefer, you just gave a great idea for a Chassidus Sefer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Guys, those. Okay, so much. Some of you may know what is Rosh Chodesh. I'm trying to say without giving it away. What do we often say about Rosh Chodesh in Jewish tradition? Like, it is a day that's special for?
Women.
Who's heard that idea before? That someone, so women's day Rosh Chodesh? Okay, there is an idea like that. Okay,
it's
but...
pagan, isn't it?
What?
Connecting the moon to women. It's a pagan idea.
Maybe the pagans are onto something.
No, I'm just saying, I just mean it's a common theme in like general religion.
Well, let me ask you a very simple question, Marty.
Well, there's an obvious reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Also, can I say something else you have to be careful about?
Yes.
The fact that two cultures come to the same conclusion doesn't mean that one has influenced the other sometimes. Right, everyone understand what just happened? Obviously, a menstrual cycle is very close to 30 days often. So it might be a natural move for any culture to relate women to...
I didn't mean we copied it. I meant more...
It's okay. By the way, I'd be okay even if we copied it. I'm just pointing out that it is kind of a natural move.
Yeah.
It is a natural move to relate.
The sun is like
kind of
like the male,
there are various reasons why. Okay, that's it. Now you have a good. Mark Adler's going to write a book one day. Why cultures associate women with the moon? Okay. I just realized something. Oh, this is really. My jokes are getting worse and worse by as the day goes along. Right. You know that famous book, "Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus."
Yeah.
So it should be something like "Men," like sorry, "Women Are the Moon" instead of like "Women Are from the Moon." They're just they are the moon. Okay. So there you go. But notice according to Mark Adler, that would work nicely with the Sfas Emes. Why might Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to, let's say, most Chagim, be more connected to women? Did he want to say things that precede Matan Torah have a different rule book? So that, Mark, put that in your Chassidus for one day.
And one more question.
Yeah.
Because the core of the whole discussion is Kedushin, right?
Yeah.
Kedushin includes that they're not Chayim, but not a single answer we look at.
Okay, great. So this is a very good point, really Harrison's point from before, which I'm sorry I'm not going to do it. Maybe we'd have to give another Shirkoli. But can I just point out? Sometimes in life, you have to follow. See, guys, you really learn a lot of logic here. The following frustrating thing. I'm trying to explain a Hava Amina. Everyone knows what a Hava Amina is, right? What's the problem sometimes? My explanation is so good, I'm no longer sure why it's not the conclusion. Does that happen? There's almost like this danger. Wait, don't explain it too well. Explain the Havmina too well, and then you're in trouble. So you're right. We might have had six Svaras so far why mothers should be Chayav in Mila. Right? So it might be missing one thing. Okay, those are so good. Why don't they work at the end of the day? Okay, so that's an interesting point, but that's not the topic here. We're here today just explaining the Havmina. Why the more thought?
But do we pass it? Are they pass it?
Women are not obligated to give their son a meal. Okay, Joshua.
Could you apply your Chayim Svara to, for example, Matzah on Pesach if you specifically call Pesach on Aviv?
I don't get into it right now, but we do assume that Matzah is Marim. Even though women are Chayim. Because that's an example where we have a special drasha to overcome. Remember, we said there's two categories: things that are not Zman Grama, things that might be Zman Grama, but women are still Chayim. So give you some examples, guys. Kiddush on Shabbos, women are Chayim. Not because it's not Zman Grama, we don't care. They're Chayim. Eating matz on Pesach, women are Chayim. Again, not because it's not Zman Grama. Yeah.
So if Chayim Svara could apply, it would be nice in that situation.
Reb Chaim Svara would apply. You want to say that? Okay, fair enough. Okay, yes, very briefly. Maybe we can comment. Izzy! Guys, I'm sorry to point out again. Izzy is the underrated star of the yeshiva. Izzy, can I come over? You can ask for X points. Is that okay? Okay, so some of you guys may know that I have a nephew who can dunk, and everyone's very excited that yeshiva high school can dunk.
Yeah.
Okay, so he plays for Cleveland. Cleveland played Denver in a tournament. Unfortunately, Denver's a very small school. What was the score? 66-22, Cleveland won. But here's the cool trivia fact. The 22 points of Denver Academy were all scored by one man sitting in this room, right here. Okay. That is a good piece of Yeshiva High School basketball trivia. Okay, Izzy, go ahead.
I was
going to
say, you said that Kishabana.
Shh. So the truth is, I don't know what he's getting at. Most women have a custom not to say Kiddush Levana. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I was going to say that if the crowds are covering the moon, then you want to say Kiddush Levana.
And therefore?
So therefore, it's contingent on you seeing the
moon. That should make it Levana or not make it? But what if I say, okay, very good. Okay, I just want to point out where Izzy has a good start, but why might not work at the end of the day? Izzy is saying that, well, Kiddush Levana could also fluctuate. What if it's too cloudy? So I'm not going to say it on the fourth of the month. I might end up saying it on the ninth of the month. But there's an end. That's why it might not work. Because, guys, until when in the month can you say Kiddush Levana? Only while the moon is getting bigger, as it were. So once you hit the middle of the month, You can't say Kitzelon anymore. So there's still an ending. So that's why I think it's an ending. You might still argue that it is Kitzelon at that point. Is that fair? Okay, guys. It's okay if I ask, only if you have a really significant comment. No, no, no.
Mati has a very philosophical point on the matter.
This is a rubbish.
Right, guys, quick. We're running out of time. Let's
go. Never mind.
Okay.
No, please.
Okay, so, one of our first statements is
that we're not doing reading a lot. However, we should tell you the day, so it's not that.
If you do it at the right time, you
can
be reading a lot.
Okay, since
we're
going to
be
more for now, just
join
the
next chance
to talk,
yes? On the cargo issues, did you say that the person who didn't get the reading a lot started?
Okay, oh, that was a great point. Whoa. What a good question. I think I've got it. I know we'll close with that. Okay, guys? Very good. Okay, it's very exciting. That might be your first time doing Shergol. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You guys are on, like, call in radio shows. They have this, like, bell that goes off. You're first time commentator, right? Okay, we should have that for Shergol. What? What? No? Don't think you said that in my childhood. Don't do that anymore? I remember, like, what was that show that had Mike Francesa on it in New York? Is he still on? They would say something like, long-time listener, first-time caller. No, wasn't that the phrase? Something like that? Okay. But in any case, let me just review the whole shiur, and I want to give you a break, then you can just come over to me and introduce it during the second break. I'm going to go over the question. That's part of the review. Don't worry. I know how to integrate these things. I've been doing this for a long time. Okay. Here we go, guys. Okay. We want to know why you need a positive example. Let me just be his mind problem. We have the following, I think, six answers. Again, because of Kari, we'll come back to this question in a second. Because after the 8th day, it goes on forever. Because it precedes Matan Torah, because it's a result-oriented mitzvah, that's four. Because Reb Chaim's point, it's not really about the date, it's really about the physical body, that's five. That was it, or we have man missed one? Did I miss one? Four was the result, and five was, it's not really the date at the end of the day. Maybe just five answers. Okay, but now, Jonas asked a great question, which is as follows, guys. He says, wait, you're cheating on the curry point. Because we're using curry as a reason to obligate mom. But who would get curry in the legal scenario? Not the parent for defaulting. Curry is only on the person himself. If the person himself decides, I don't get a bar mitzvah, they could be liable for curry. But there's no idea that dad is liable for curry. That was a great question. But I still think it could be answered. Who could answer the question? Eitan.
The father still has an obligation to answer his son into the covenant.
Okay, good. I'm going a little bit further. What are we using current for here, guys? We're using it as like a barometer to show the significance of the mitzvah. I would argue as long as somebody is chayav current, it's still a barometer. So that was an excellent question, but I do think your answer is correct. I think that would still work. If it would still work, you'd say, clearly Torah really cares about Brit Milah. Notice somebody could be liable for curry. All right, guys. We'll just give Caleb a chance. Have you spoken to Shirkali before?
Yeah.
Okay. But you can have a chance. Do you want to say something? What do you want
to
say?
No, I mean, I had something to say about things with me now. But basically, I was like, about like, the first time I
met him. Yeah.
I like, she'll have it when we, like, go to town hall. When somebody speaks to her the first time, we all, like, go crazy. Like,
yeah!
All right. Okay, very nice. All right, guys. Everybody have a great Shabbat.